This is CliffCentral.com.
This is a business masterclass. I'm Adrian Groenewald, and the entire 3 hours from 12 to 3 GMT plus 2 is our leadership transformation platform. But the next half hour, we're talking about it's kind of financial stuff, if I can call it that. Cash management, solvency, and liquidity. More particularly, I'd like to hear about cash management. And we have, as usual, in the studio today, we've got Alice Mnyandu. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Adrian.
This is your strong point, isn't it? As a former editor of a newspaper, cash management.
Cash management. Yeah, I've covered a few big companies that had cash problems. So
you've
this will be fascinating.
You've probably seen it from the negative side for a large part of your
totally.
Your journalistic career. And then we have Richard Angus all the way from Cape Town. Richard, you there? Okay, we're still getting him on the line. Richard's going to lead us in this conversation. Cash management and what's the other things? Solvency and liquidity. Gosh. Let's introduce Ricardo Carvalho.
That's correct.
From USB Ed. How are you, Ricardo?
I'm good. Thank you, yourself.
I'm good, man. How did you end up in a world where you are the expert on cash management, solvency, and liquidity?
I don't know quite if I'd call myself the expert, but I do have some years of experience in there.
Yeah.
Originally, kind of educational background first, BCom financial management, and kind of started off my career in the hospitality industry for about 8 years and so.
Okay.
And then the last 15 years, I've been in the educational environment, working for business schools, lecturing and so forth, and doing some consulting work as well.
Okay. Well, welcome to the studio. Yeah, we talk to SMEs, well, it's business principals, but we eventually zoom into the SME environment. Last week we spoke of, what was last week's theme? Let's bring Richard Angus in. He remembers these kind of things. Richard, welcome.
Hello, Adrian. Welcome to everybody.
How's Cape Town looking?
Good, good, good.
Is it lovely?
Cape Town.
Yeah, Cape Town. You're in Cape Town, right?
Yeah, I'm in Cape Town. Down at Nashua, Cape Town for the morning.
Okay. Well, thank you for being with us anyway. I was just trying to remember the podcast last week. What was our conversation about?
Well, now you ask me a question.
I'm trying to think what our conversation was last week.
It was a very important conversation, that's for sure.
Yeah. But you can find it on the Cliff Central website. I mean, it's just interesting trying to assist SMEs in this world where it's not that easy to succeed. All right, Richard, take us on this journey of cash management, solvency, and liquidity. You guys will have to make sense of it for us.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I think the one thing that's very clear to everybody, we've talked frequently about the challenges of startup businesses and how many of those fail within the first 2 years. We talk of the 8 out of 10 failure rate. And I think if I was to ask Ricardo, I'm sure he would echo the sentiments that I would say a good 90% of those failures in the first 2 years are probably as a result of cash flow management in some way, shape, or form. Ricardo, I don't know what your views would be on, but that's definitely been my experience. But if it's going to go wrong, it's going wrong in this particular area of cash flow management.
Absolutely, Richard. I think that is really the kind of Achilles heel to many of the small SMEs out there in starting up. You know, they have these visions of this great idea of what they want to do and the business that they want to create. But their kind of estimates and calculations when it comes to the cash, it is what kind of buries them and sinks them ultimately, sadly, very, very sadly so. And it's a huge challenge.
Yeah. So perhaps there's a good starting point. I mean, you know, we talk about the principle of, are we solvent as a business? I mean, and people use this term, they throw out some terms. So I'd like to just get some clarity on some terms for everybody. So when we talk about, is our business actually solvent? What do we mean by the term solvent?
Well, I guess, Richard, in terms of a solvency, is we're looking at, can we cover our long-term financial commitments, and we start looking at kind of things, kind of what kind of structure have we set up our business in terms of debt versus equity ratio? We try to kind of look at some of those ratios. We look as well at kind of what financial burden are we putting onto the business if we have gone and borrowed money and now we have some large interest payments to make, and that kind of plays a huge part. It's always a bit of a question. Do I give up part of my business in terms of equity to kind of lessen the burden in terms of debt that's you know payable to funders, to backers, and so it's an important question.
So I guess, I mean, you know, when I think of the word solvency, I mean, I go back to the plain and simple question of can I settle all of the borrowings or liabilities that I have within my business using the assets that I have within the business. I guess the reality is that failure rate that we talk about is when people are insolvent, meaning their obligations or their liabilities actually exceed the very assets that they have in the business, and that's brought on by a whole number of different ills. But at the end of the day, the circumstances end up in exactly the same position where they just cannot afford to make payments on those obligations. Now, what's the difference between that and the whole question of liquidity? Because we hear the words solvency and liquidity, and they seem to be two different things. Let's discuss that in a little bit more detail.
Sure. In terms of a liquidity, when we start talking about liquidity, we start looking more at the short-term basis. In other words, we kind of look at our current assets, things kind of like land and buildings, assets, tangible goods, and we start kind of comparing those versus the immediate liabilities that we have within an organization. So if I look at my assets, we broadly kind of break them down into three classes. We kind of say, assets, we've got kind of cash, debtors, and stock in essence, if we look at that. And we talk how stock is kind of the least liquid asset. Reason being is that I first need to kind of sell this stock item. I then probably have sold it on terms, which means I need to wait kind of at least 30 days or so to convert that into cash. And only then do I actually have the physical cash in hand, as opposed to the liabilities in terms of immediate payments that are due to terms of accounts payable in creditors. So going back just to clarify, just in terms of assets, I'm talking about cash in hand, debtors or accounts receivable, and then inventory. And we look at some ratios in terms of kind of current assets to current liabilities. And then at times we refer to as well as an asset test, which is taking out the inventory, because that tends to be cash tied up in a business, and it's kind of money sitting on your shelf, which you can't quite do something with it just yet.
Yeah,
Richard, I've got a question in for Ricardo.
Sure.
Because I think the conversation is kind of veering into the more technical side of things, and I'm thinking of myself as an SMME guy, you know, out in Soweto. I'm thinking, you know, I'm bootstrapping this business. Mm. So, just in essence, for an SMME, what would cash look like? How should they understand the definition of cash for a small business person?
I think
what would it be? The money owed to the business?
I think simplistically, I think I would look at it in terms of physical cash in hand, that you have at your disposal to either do a few things in terms of your daily operational expenses, in terms of running your business, buying, depending on the nature of your business, but having cash available to run the day-to-day business. And naturally, yes, we need to generate sales, but what we many SMEs fail to kind of make the linkage is they make the sale and they think, I'm really doing well. I've got the money, but it's not. Mm. I kind of refer to the banker's mantra, and they talk that turnover is vanity, profit is sanity, but cash is king. And that holds very, very true.
I think you've got to say that again. There's a lot of wisdom in that.
I'll break it down. So it starts off that turnover. In other words, sales is vanity. And you get that very much.
You start thinking sales, what you can do with your money.
Absolutely.
And you just dream holiday homes.
And the sales guys are big in that. The sales guys are like, wow, we've landed this deal. I've made the sale. They're happy. They're counting their commission and everything.
The buck has stopped it.
They've done their bit. They've done their bit, and they believe they've achieved their goal within the organization. The next part, if I take it from an accountant's point of view, accountant says, well, hang on a second. I need to kind of look at the profitability. I may have had all these sales, but what costs have I incurred in running this business? So let's look simplistically. Have I actually made a profit? And therefore, if I've made a profit, well, that kind of gives me some confidence or puts me at ease. And therefore, we refer to it as sanity.
And profit in a basic definition is what? It's sales minus costs?
Minus costs, in essence.
Okay.
Very simplistically, I mean, you could break it down further into gross profits, but net profit.
Margins.
Correct.
Okay.
But the bottom line is, have I actually made a buck on this deal, or whatever the case may be?
Now we're back on earth.
We're back on earth. But then, like I say, you've made the sale. You haven't actually yet. That's an accounting principle, making profit. It doesn't mean you have cash in hand. And that's the challenge. So the banker as such, their mantra is in essence, cash is king. So only once that kind of sale's been paid for, I always run the risk of potential bad debt. And that's the issue.
Can I just ask this other one question before Richard comes in? So say you're an SMME, you know, there's a lot of tendering involved in this country, you know, talk of tenderpreneurs. So you've got a tender, say, you know, it's 2 billion rand or whatever. How should you structure your proposal to get that tender, but still be able to be sure that your costs to service that tender are covered and therefore be able to make profit?
And that's a challenge because you don't know when you're going to be paid, for example.
Absolutely.
And you start running into your cash because you're waiting two, 3, 6 months. I know of these situations.
That is a massive issue. And especially, as you mentioned, kind of the tender businesses, those payment cycles are extremely slow. And so you do, you end up kind of plowing in a whole lot of money to keep the operating expenses running. You still have salaries to be paid. You still have, you know, cell phones accounts, water and lights and that type of thing to keep running. And so you make the sale and sadly some of the, and I know I'm probably generalizing in a sense, but some of the, let's call it from the tender process, if we're talking government, some of the government institutions are extremely slow in paying, and that can bury. So while government on one hand wants to promote small business and so forth, I believe they should come to the party as well and help these small businesses.
In fact, people who have been squeezed, we've had stories that, you know, you go get this tender and then try and use that tender, contract or award as collateral to then borrow.
Yeah.
I mean, don't those folks run the risk of somewhere down the line find that, you know, they can't access liquidity because that tender still hasn't materialized in actual sense?
Quite correct. So it kind of goes back to, you know, the sales guy, I've made the sale, but it still means absolutely nothing.
Because the tender implementation can go wrong.
Correct.
Government might then, according to some clause, say, sorry, we're not paying. And that's the risk of, we have Monashani in the studio, for example. That's the risk. They then fund this guy, bridging finance, and but there's a risk, but there's high return. Okay,
yeah.
Richard.
There's legalities there as well, yeah.
Sure.
You're still awake there in Cape Town?
Yeah. No, I'm looking.
Interesting.
So, I mean, we've talked there effectively about, I guess, the cash cycle of a business in terms of how it moves from turnover through debtors and finally and profitability, and ultimately you get to cash in the actual business in terms of cash in the bank account. But I guess the big question is, and Ricardo, give us some sense here of, I mean, for me, I would say that it's critical to make sure that you know what your cash position is going to be, when you're going to be in a position to have cash, or when are you going to, more importantly, going to be in a position where you perhaps don't have cash. Let's talk a little bit about cash flow budgeting and particularly cash flow timing. There's, I mean, you know, from the description that we just had about tendering, etc., I mean, that's all about getting your cash flow budget and timing right. If you don't understand exactly when cash flows are expected to happen, you're in trouble. It's not just about, oh, well, the bottom right-hand corner of the spreadsheet is positive, so I'm okay, because it really doesn't help if you need to pay somebody at the beginning of the month and you only get your money at the end of the month. No matter how good you are, that's a problem. So, I mean, how do people go about getting a handle on that? What suggestions have you got for entrepreneurs out there?
It is a huge challenge. I think in terms of what are your kind of options as such. So I think as a small entrepreneur and understanding that cash cycle, yes, you need a starting point in terms of being able to get operational. I think what sometimes people, I won't say forget, but we tend to say, well, I have my money that I've kind of plowed into the business. But there are other sources of funding, and in terms of using your suppliers, in essence, as a source of funding, as a bank, in essence, in trying to kind of manage those terms and providing yourself kind of a grace period of kind of 30 days or so. And we know of some big businesses, the likes of Pick and Pay, who've kind of taken that to the extreme and done it extremely successful. But for small businesses, I think it is, we tend to, you know, we put our business plan together, we kind of do projections on sales and so forth, but you're right, we tend to forget the actual cash flow. So the cash flow requires us to, as you rightly point out, the timing of when our salaries due, whether they're due the 25th or the 30th, and when do I have to pay other suppliers and so forth, and how do we kind of ensure that I've got a revenue stream to achieve this.
Yeah, and one should be converting, let me call it, your more traditional budgets in terms of income statement, sales targets and the costs that go with the sale, etc. We should be working that back from a timing perspective to know what the cash impact is going to be. And I think the reality is that no matter what business you're in, if you don't understand what cash you're going to need to pay suppliers, what cash you're going to have to tie up in your inventory and potentially in your debtors book in terms of while you're waiting for other people to pay you, you could very quickly be in a situation where you're paying people as your creditors far quicker than you potentially should be, and you're not using that, let me call it, free funding opportunity that is out there. Now, Ricardo, I mean, one thing that always strikes me, and as a ex-banker, it's something that I'm very aware of, is, you know, people often say, well, you know, if cash is king, I want to deal in cash. But there's the flip side of that in terms of just the management of physical cash is both a costly and a fairly high-risk environment nowadays in terms of physical cash holding and managing physical cash. I mean, we always used to joke, we used to say every time you count a 100 rand note, it actually decreases in value by the cost of actually counting. And we actually, at one point, we toyed with playing or making an advert that had cash moving through a 100 rand note moving through a business, and every time it was counted, the actual face value of the 100 rand went to 99 rand, 98 rand, 97 rand, because that's the reality, that every time cash changes hands, be it in a business, from the business to the bank, wherever it is, every time it changes hands, cash is counted, and there's a cash counting cost and security costs, etc. I mean, what is your view on cash, and let's talk about cash management at a very physical level? I mean, should SMEs be pushing for cash business, or should they be pushing for electronic type of interaction with their customer base? What's your opinion on this one?
So to evade tax, yes. To not, no. I mean, that's kind of the...
It's kind of the old story. And it was, you know, where do you, which set of books do you want? The one on the back of the cigarette carton or the real numbers?
I think we should get the taxi guys here. The taxi industry.
But let me tell you, we were in Ivongo in April somewhere, and some established businesses there in the city, or just outside, they've been there for 20, 30 years, and you only deal in cash with them.
It's interesting.
The Shell shop, for example, Only cash.
Correct.
And you go, whoa, it's obvious why. Anyway, back to the question.
It's interesting, and certain companies do go that way. Richard, you're quite right. There absolutely is a risk in dealing with cash, the physical security of it, in terms of you becoming a crime or a statistic in just handling cash. We hear of, you know, instances of stores being held up, individuals being held up, drawing money and going to pay wages and so, that type of thing. There always is a risk. That's why you kind of see certain of kind of your, be it your little spa shop or so, constantly trying to offer you, you know, well, would you like to draw cash and so forth? And that's in essence trying twofold. One of them is save on the banking fees of physically banking the cash, because as you rightly point out, there's a cost associated to that, as well as kind of minimizing their risk. The less cash they have on premises, you know, the better. I mean, I'm involved in a few family businesses as well, and one of the businesses as well, we made it a point to not have cash on premises. We established in an industrial area, and you don't want to put yourself at risk as such. So you purposely, you only deal with EFT when you're dealing with public. The issue does become an issue of convenience. So yes, you are paying service fees on a credit card, but if you can move to an EFT kind of platform, and we look at some of the products, the banking products that are coming out, you know, taps and those type of things. So
It always amazed me when you look at the patterns of behavior, people standing in a queue to draw money from an ATM, to walk into a store to go and buy something, to hand the same cash that they've just drawn from the ATM over to the cashier, who then puts it in the drawer, and I go, well, why didn't you just swipe the card that you used to draw the cash from the ATM? Why didn't you just swipe it at the point of sale, and you wouldn't have had to stand in the queue and wait and go through all of the challenges. So yeah, it is just, I think it's also a function of mindset and the way we operate as individuals. Sure. Now, I mean, the other side of the conversation around cash is, you know, well, it's fine to have outright cash holdings, but at the end of the day, this cash has got to go somewhere in the system. I mean, if you're a business, you bank your cash receipts, and you may be sitting on, you know, an amount of cash. Now, obviously, there's also this issue of if it's sitting in a bank account lying dormant, earning what is today very limited amounts of interest. How do you? What's your thinking, or what advice would you give on, you know, holding money in bank accounts? What should you be doing? Where should you be putting? Let's call it that float of potentially usable cash that's sitting in a bank account for a period of time waiting for an expense to be incurred and for payment to happen. Where should you be putting your cash as a business person? What is your suggestion there?
I think, Richard, as you rightly point out, we may be in a position with cash, but we need to utilize that cash in such a way that we are gaining the best return on it, but also have the access to it. So, you know, we look at kind of financing and funding a business, you know, part of it may be an investment arm of it, where we're investing our cash into assets which would help us generate revenue. The issue with that is that cash is then kind of sunk. You cannot convert it back into cash that easily or that quickly, should I say. I think it really is about trying to find a balance in terms of having liquid, physical liquid cash that allows you to operate, to having, you know, other investments in terms of it could even be something where you're gaining a slightly better return, be it on a money market account or so. I think it depends really on the business, on the industry. I think from an SME point of view, I personally wouldn't be tying up that cash, you know, too rigidly, if I can put it to you that way.
Yeah, I guess it all boils down to that earlier question of liquidity and making sure that the cash is liquid enough for the timing of that cash budget we also talked about. So if you can't get your cash, you know, if your cash budget isn't accurate, you need higher levels of liquidity to cope with the unexpected, and as a consequence of that, then you end up with, let me call it, idle cash, cash yes. sitting in bank accounts, not earning great interest, etc., because you haven't planned properly, therefore you don't know what to move where, and you don't know what the expected timing is of cash flows, and you don't want to be caught without the cash available. Now, I mean, one of the things that we talked about earlier is that let's call it the working capital cycle. You talked about debtors, stock, etc. I mean, are there measures that are out there that an SME owner should be measuring? I mean, you did talk briefly about some ratios. What are the common ratios that SME should be using to measure the effectiveness of their cash management?
I think probably one way I'd love to start is probably the most important one, in my view, would be your debtor's days. We spoke earlier about kind of, we make the sale, we all happy about that. But how long is it taking me to get that money back into my physical hand? And so we sign deals, and the norm is, we may sign, we give you terms 30 days. But we find, organizations, the money only coming in 45 days, 60 days, sometimes even longer. And that's where we had kills. So, and that calculation, without kind of getting too technical, in essence, it's just you're trying to find out physically how long is it taking me to kind of receive that money in hand. So that would be my number one, really. Your next thing I would suggest is kind of looking at stock turnover. In other words, if you are buying and selling goods, how long does those goods kind of sit on the shelf? As I mentioned earlier, it is literally kind of cash sitting on a shelf. If I cannot convert it into money and generate and get that cash cycle flowing, it's kind of just dying out on me. So that would be something else that I would also definitely be looking at in terms of stock days. And then also the third leg of that would be your creditor's days. How long am I taking to pay my suppliers? Again, it's that thing, I may have 30 days. Is there any benefit to paying earlier? Are they offering me a discount? Should I pay within 15 days or so? It might be beneficial to take up on that discount.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So you've certainly helped make sense. Do you want to wrap it up a bit, Richard?
Well, I just think, just in wrapping up, I think the important thing that everybody must make peace with is the fact that, cash ultimately is a very challenging part of any business, but the more time you spend on managing your cash, knowing the timing and extent of your cash flows, how much and when, the better position you'll be in as a small business to be able to meet your obligations and make sure that you're working against the statistics and not for them.
Okay, thank you so much, Richard. We appreciate you putting your time aside from Cape Town, and we miss you here in the studio.
Cheers, Richard.
Thank you.
All the best.
Cheers,
good luck, Richard, with all the deals you want to close there, and hopefully it helps you with your cash management.
Bring the cash.
Thank you so much. Okay, thank you. That was our business skills conversation with our special guest, Ricardo Carvalho from USB Ed, University Stellenbosch. What's the Ed for again?
Education.
That's it. Quite That's correct. Part of their business school, and it's so great to have them as a partner in this. So thank you for joining us. You're staying on with us as we move into our SME showcase. We're interviewing Selebogo Molefe. Life's good. It's a manufacturing business. And then he started what I'm really interested in, the hookup dinner. And you can follow them on Twitter and just Google and you'll find it. We're going to interview him as a SME, ask him what he's learned when it comes to cash management as well. I mean, let's not just talk about the inspirational stuff. So stay with us. Next up, our SME showcase.
This is CliffCentral.com.